On April 15, 2013, the crowds who swamped the finish line for the Boston Marathon repeated a tradition that had taken place for the past 116 years. We took pride in attending the world's oldest annual marathon, a public celebration of exertion and stamina. The weather was clear and perfect, but several hours had passed since the race began. Boredom and anxiety mixed for the spectators while people bunched near the finish to see their friends and relatives cross the line. We were 3 hours and 48 minutes into the race, and the top runners had long since finished. The best of them had been done long enough to get back to their hotels or homes and be soaking in the jacuzzi. Nevertheless, the finish line area along Boylston Street was packed, and there were over 5,000 runners still out on the course. Spectators who remained at the finish were there because they knew at least one of the runners yet to come in and appreciated how hard they were working to make the distance. It was my birthday weekend and my first time in Boston. I was there with my 5-year-old son Noah and a guy I had been casually dating. His mother was running in the race and was due at the finish line any minute. The presence of so many inspired runners filled the air with a contagious feeling of hope. The celebrations at the finish created a sense of community that we all seemed to feel. But not everyone felt that way. It was 2:49 in the afternoon. Noah had started out the day enthused to be at the race, but at his age he soon grew tired of waiting for the runners to finish streaming by. So I set him down on the sidewalk at my feet with his back resting against my shins. We were both in that position when the first bomb went off. The blast wave hit like a freight train, and I felt as if the street itself had exploded. All of a sudden, I found myself thrown back, sprawled on the ground like something out of a movie. What? What had just happened? Somehow, I wasn't knocked out, but the power of the blast flattened me so hard and fast that it had me in a world of its own. A deafening clang reverberated in my head. Smoke filled the air. I tried to move, but my limbs felt paralyzed. The Boylston Street sidewalk was now a canvas for widespread scattering of blood and bones. Breezes stirred the smoke into isolated wisps. I managed to slightly lift my head, enough to see my body covered in blood. Bits of flesh, including pieces of my own leg bones, were plastered all around me. I raised my gaze a little higher and saw other victims. There was no telling how many. Wide streaks of crimson shone in every direction. Pieces of metal were scattered everywhere. Random body parts were strewn among the bodies themselves. The entire finish line was no longer recognizable. We were in a war zone. But as horrific as that scene was, my true nightmare came a few moments later when my mind cleared enough to remember that Noah had been sitting on my feet with his back against my legs. Now my legs were shredded, and I couldn't see my son anywhere. I tried to scream for someone to find him, but I could barely hear myself or anything else over the gong reverberating in my head. Then a few moments after the first explosion, I didn't know until later that the interval was 12 seconds, the second bomb went off. It didn't seem to be that far from us, and it nailed down the certainty that this was some sort of deliberate attack. Now the pandemonium was thick. Panicked bystanders and baffled officials struggled to respond. From the corners of my limited field of vision, I saw the yellow jackets of race officials swarming the scene, joined by a few of the spectators. Some of those who had escaped...